Well, here we are, end of 1 year, ready for another one. Well, God doesn't operate in years, but I'm kind of glad that we do, because sometimes you just want to say, okay, let's put that one behind me and move on to the next. But I know you've probably been thinking about it. Maybe you've been thinking about 2013. Maybe you've been thinking ahead. Maybe some of you have been already setting some goals or thinking about some things you want to do differently this next year. It is a time of reflection, a time of looking at our lives, and I think Christmas is that time we kind of look at where we are, and maybe that's why sometimes we feel not full of Christmas cheer like we should. But let's look over in Jeremiah 29. I think for many of us this is a great scripture for us and good scripture to be looking at right now. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. I'll read this from the NIV. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you." And this is good because, you know, here we teach, you know, about John 10:10 is the dividing line between good and evil, God and the enemy. And it really helps you to understand that verse. It's Satan that comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. Jesus said, "I've come to give you life and life more abundantly." You need to have an understanding of that verse. It's very important on how you look at God and how you look at your and live your life. And so it helps you understand this verse. Plans to prosper you. Now, the word prosper, I mean, that's something good. That's success. That's better. That's increase. That's moving forward. Not to harm. One translation says evil. Not to cause you evil. Plans to give you hope and a future. So these are some things that we can, this is, as we're looking forward into 2014, God has a plan for me. God's got a plan for you. And part of that plan is to prosper you. He's got plans not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Now, the Message Bible says in this last part of this verse, it says, plans to give you the future you hope for. That's interesting, isn't it? Give you the future that you hope for. Now, let's turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. We know this is the great faith chapter, and have preached from these verses many times over the years. But let's look at it again right now. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Now, we spend a lot of time talking about faith. You know, what does it say over the end of 1 Corinthians 13? Talks about now there's faith, hope, and love, and the greatest of these is love. And so we spend time talking about faith. We spend time talking about love, God's love, and then God's love working through us. But how often do we talk about hope? But I think it's pretty important for us to talk about hope, especially as we look into this new year. He said He'd give us a hope. He wants us to have a hope. So let's talk about hope today. Now, what is hope? Hope basically is an expectation of good and favorable things to occur in the future. Hope has to do with the future. And so it's an expectation. And it's not an expectation of harm. It's not an expectation of evil. It's something good, something favorable. I like to put it this way. Hope is the vision. Hope is the direction. Hope is the target. Hope is the goal of our faith. I was looking at goals for this upcoming year. Hope is the goal. Hope is the blueprint or the dream. It's all of those things. And so faith gives substance to hope. Faith gives substance to the dream. It gives substance to the vision. It gives substance to the goal. So faith gives substance to hope to bring it to reality in our lives. Now, we've done a lot of ministry to people here at Good News Church. You know, our mission here is empowering people to give life. And part of giving life is obviously sharing the gospel. We want everybody, just like God does, everybody to be saved. Everybody to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And so if you're talking to someone, if you're planting seeds, there'll come a point, if you want to lead that person to salvation, you're going to have to ask them what we call the million-dollar question. If you were to die today or 100 years from now, do you know if you'd go to heaven? And there's all kind of responses. And one of the responses that we get is, I hope so. But I've never met anybody that said, I hope so, that knew they were going to heaven when they died. So when they say, I hope so, what are they really saying? They're saying, I don't really know for sure where I'm going, but I hope there's a chance that I might go to heaven. So that's not really Bible hope. That's wishful thinking. And we can't confuse wishful thinking with Bible hope. Hope is, again, it's an expectation. It's an anticipation of good things that are going to happen. And, you know, as we're looking into this new year, I mean, I don't know, you know, we may have had a lot of wishful thinking that didn't happen in 2013. But we want to have Bible hope going into this next year. And you need to come out to the New Year's Eve service, because the Lord's got some things. I think He wants to give us some direction in the New Year's Eve service. So I would encourage you to come to that if you can. Before you go out partying, come to service. Party with us, party with God, and then whatever, you know. But I don't want to have just wishful thinking. I don't want to just be in fantasy land. You know, I want to have some concrete things. I want some things to happen in, you know, 2014, the desires of my heart, dreams and things that I'm believing for to come to pass. So Bible hope is having confidence in who God is, His Word, His faithfulness, His faith in confidence in His faithfulness to perform His Word. Hope is joyful. It's an anticipation. You know what I'm saying? It's joy. It's not based on circumstances. It's an inner knowing. You know what I'm saying? It's an inner knowing. It's an expectation. Hope is anticipating. Hope is expecting. Now, let's talk about it this way, and I think you probably can relate to this. Maybe not, you know, but in this specific example, but maybe you can relate to the, you know, in some way, in some manner here. Let's say a guy comes into his wife. This guy's a fisherman, and he comes in and he says, "Honey, get the skillet ready. We're going to be cooking some fish." And his wife has, you know, had hers many times, and many times haven't cooked any fish. So she's kind of like, "Well, honey, you know, what makes you think so? What has gotten your hopes up?" Well, he says, "You know, the state fishery has come and stocked our local lake with thousands of fish. And me and my buddy, we're going to go over there and we're going to catch our limit. So go ahead and get the skillet ready, get everything ready, because we're going to be having some fish." So then he and his buddy go over there and they start fishing, and they're casting, and his buddy starts pulling out fish, or other people around start pulling up fish, but he's not pulling anything up. Casting it out. Maybe his bait's been taken. You know, he ends up, you know, his friends got the lucky pole, so they switch poles. He's using that. Nothing. And then finally he gets just so frustrated, so discouraged, he comes back home and says, "I'm never going back to that lake. I'm not going fishing back in that lake. Now, did he have faith? Did he have, he's a fisherman, knows how to fish. But what happened? Discouragement took away his hope and caused him to quit. You ever had hopes and dreams? Ever been discouraged? Ever had a dream squashed? Ever had something you're believing for and it seems like you're going the opposite direction? I mean, that's discouraging. And then you've got an enemy that's stealing, killing, and destroying, trying to take your dream, trying to take your hope. He's doing all he can to rob you of your joy. And so what happens? Circumstances cause you to draw back. I'm not going back there. I'm not going to try that again. Faith and hope are partners. They work together. Now let's say that the temperature, I don't know what the temperature is today, but let's just say outside the temperature is 40 degrees. And in here we want it to be 70. So what do? Turn the thermostat, right? To what? The desired level. What do we want it to be? 70. So I go to the thermostat and put it on 70. Now, do I make the air change? Do I make it get warmer? No, what happens? The unit kicks on. And because of the gas or electric or whatever it is, it brings heat into the room. Now, is it instantaneous? No, it's a process. But when I set that thermostat, I have an anticipation and an expectation that it's going to be 70. And so the thermostat is like our hope. We set that. Now, God may give us the goal. He may give us the target, but we're the ones that set it. But I can't generate the heat. My faith does that. We feed our faith. God, He's given us a measure of faith. We feed our faith. That produces power. But I'm the one that sets the thermostat. I'm the one that determines the hope. And so in 2013, I don't know what's happened. This may have been one of the toughest years of your life. There may want to have been a lot of discouragements. You probably have every reason not to have your hopes up. You can get so discouraged, you don't even set any goals anymore. Because you don't want to be hurt, you don't want to be frustrated, you don't want to be, but see, our faith needs, you can have, if you have a thermostat with no air unit, you got just a fantasy there, wishful thinking. I can play with the thermostat all day long. I can have the air unit, but if I don't have the thermostat, my faith is going to be dormant. Your faith needs something for it to latch onto. And that's where hope comes in. Hope is the dream. Hope is the goal. Hope is the target. Hope is the direction. And so as we're looking into this new year, we're the ones... We're the ones that are going to set the thermostat for 2014. God doesn't do it. I wish He would. And that's why, we've got to, I think it's a good time to spend some time in prayer. It's a time to get the yellow legal pad and start writing some things down. It's a time to dream. But I recommend you prayerfully do this. Prayerfully look at this upcoming year, because He's going to speak to you. He's going to show you things. Because that's where we get frustrated. We just start writing down things, maybe what other people write down. Or we write down, this is what we should write down. But and then, or you can write down things that are so far out there, it's discouraging because you're not at a place to hit that target. So we're at that point, I mean, of reflection. And so I really encourage you. Maybe you're already doing that. Maybe you're already ahead of the game. But sometimes we just get so busy, we just need a break. We've got so much things happening. But right now, coming into New Year's, and it doesn't have to have it all in place by January 1st. We've done things where we've taken time, maybe all of January. But especially, I would say, the next few weeks, spend some time praying. Spend some time seeking Him. Spend some time in the Word, looking to Him. Lord, you know, it says He will show you things to come. The Holy Spirit will show you things to come. Now, that's a good idea. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you things to come, then lock in on that as your target, and then begin to use your faith to believe for that target to come to pass. Because even if He shows you something about 2014, if you don't hook up with that in faith, it's not happening. They walk together. They're partners. Faith and hope, they're partners. They work together. You got to have both. And I think for us here today, if I would say, you know, we're a faith church, one of those faith churches. We talk a lot about faith, but where are we on our hope? Where are we on our dreams? Do we have big expectations? Are we just kind of dragging into this upcoming year? Kind of just getting by? I know about that. I mean, just trying to make it. But if you're in the just making it mode, how are you going to move forward? And so I'm just believing today, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I wish my words were just so inspiring. Or I was just so inspiring to get your hopes up. But I can't, that's got to be just between you and God. But I can believe with you. I'm a believer even today that seeds of hope are being planted in your heart. That if you are discouraged by the power of God, encouragement, courage will come. Strength will come. Help will come. To believe that for you. But the Bible is all about change. I just want to encourage you, things can change. Things can get better. As long as we have a hope. And we've got our faith working. I believe you got your faith working. If you have a hope, things can get better. In 2014. This can be your year. And we always say, this is my best year so far. This can be your best year so far. Let's go ahead and just say, this is going to be my best year so far. How's that feel? Feels good. You have the guy that's comes home again. It's always the man. Comes home, tells his wife, honey, there's a promotion coming up at work. And they tell me, I'm a shoo-in for it. It's mine. And so they start talking, start getting all excited, and it's going to be an increase in pay. And so what do they start doing? They start making plans for that money. And they get so excited about their plans, they start going shopping and looking around, and we're going to do this and do that. I hope you have your Dave Ramsey course. But it's just human nature. More money, that means we can spend more. And so they go and start looking around, they start getting excited, and we're going to be able to get this and do that and go here and do all that. And then goes into work one day and someone else got the promotion. Ouch. Has that ever happened to you? Well, it's happened to all of us in some form or another. And then what happens? You come home and you're discouraged and you're dragging. Honey, forget the plans. But see, that's where your hope is based on circumstances. Or your hope is based on maybe something God didn't promise you. He's promising to supply your needs. But that might not be, that job is not my hope. My confidence is in God. And so it might hit you for a loop. I mean, if you were wanting that job, but you just go home and say, honey, those things, those plans, it's going to come to pass. His word says he's going to supply all my need. I sow barley, therefore I reap bountifully. Our harvest is coming. So keep going forward with your plans. My harvest is coming. It's not based on that promotion of that job. But isn't that what happens? We kind of get it in our minds and figure out how we think it should go. But Susie did a great message one day. God's got a million ways. He's got a million ways. I think he's got probably ways you haven't thought of. But we get it figured out. And see, that's what happens when you start limiting your income. I'm using income, but limiting to it, you know, to your job. Because then you're going to base how you're doing based on what's happening with your job, good or bad. But he wants us to base how we're doing based on his word and what he said to you by the Holy Spirit. That's where we put our faith. You see what I'm saying? He's got a lot of ways to get to you what he's saying. But our job is to have faith. Our job is to have the target. Our job is to have the goal. And then to trust him. And we really don't base it on the good or bad report. We base it on what he says. You see how that keeps you from the highs and the lows? Because if you get caught up in that, well, how are you know, you're just going basing everything on circumstances. And you're out in the enemy's territory, in the natural realm. You want to get over into the spirit realm. That's why you want to get your hope and your dreams and get those things from God and then get your faith to lock on those things. Because I'm telling you, once he speaks it to you and once you see it in his word, it shall come to pass. I don't know when, I don't know how, and I don't know who, but it will, surely it shall come to pass. You see the difference? You see why Jesus can be sleeping, asleep in the boat during the storm? Because all kind of things are coming your way, and you know, we're gauging it on, well, how's it going today? Every day we're kind of monitoring things. Well, that's not the way to do it. Base it on what does the Word say? That's how I'm doing today, is based on what the Word says. That's what's going to produce. Feed your faith with the word. Don't feed it with circumstances. Don't feed it with the report. Feed it with the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And then let that faith just can begin, you know, build and build and build the power. Am I making any sense today? Good example is over in Romans chapter 4. Abraham, the father of our faith. Romans chapter 4, verse 16. It says, therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the fathers of many nations. See, that's the promise. That's the hope. That's the target. Right? The Spirit of God has shown him the future. I have made you the fathers of many nations in the presence of him whom you believed. God who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so he became the father of many nations, according to what was written. So shall your descendants be. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old. See, that's the circumstances. That's the natural realm. And the deadness of Sarah's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was able to perform, and therefore it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now, I like this in verse 18. I want to read this in an amplified version. It says, for Abraham, human reason for hope being gone. Human reason. Human reason being gone, meaning circumstances tell me no way. But that's where, if you have a promise from God, it doesn't matter what the circumstances tell you. What is God saying to you? That's why whenever if I'm dealing with somebody and going to the hospital and they're in some kind of situation, I try to locate where the people are at to see where I can hook up with. I don't want to hook up where, it's not about what I want. What do they want? Now, there may be times, and I've had this happen, where they're kind of neutral and they're open to me. Then I can begin to feed them the word and begin to encourage them, and I can literally see the hope rise. And their faith begins to get engaged. But they have everything. They're the ones that are going to set the thermostat. I can't set it for them. Abraham, human reason for hope being gone. He's 100. Sarah, how old is she? Hoped in faith. Hoped in faith. Expected. Dreamed. Had a vision. Had a goal. God-given dream. Goal. What a target. Whatever. Hoped in faith that he should be the father of many nations as he had been promised. So numberless shall your descendants be. Let's look over in Psalm 42. Psalm 42. Now, there's a lot of ways to encourage your hope, develop your hope, help your hope, aid your hope, however you want to phrase it. Psalm 42, verse 11 says, why are you cast down, O inner self? You ever been there? Matt, you ever been discouraged? You ever been down? You ever been depressed? Maybe a couple times. Why are you cast down, my inner self? And why should you moan over me and be disquieted within me? Hope in God. Wait expectantly for him, for I shall yet praise him, who is the help of my countenance and my God. There's a lot of things we can do when we're discouraged. One of them here is to give him praise. Give him praise. Give him praise. I am so beat down. You want me to give him praise? You want me to lift my hand? I have to have someone come and lift my hand for me. But I tell you, praise is an expression of your faith. Praise is a confidence in God. I can praise him. Singing is it's an expression of joy. I don't feel like singing today. Well, the day you don't feel like singing is the day you need to sing. You need to sing. Why? Get your mind on God. Get your mind on him and his goodness in His mercy, in His grace, in His, you know, Jehovah Jireh. I don't know, whatever song you need to be singing. But, I mean, it encourages you. How about Hebrews? Let's look over there. Hebrews 10, verse 23. Amplified again. It says, so let us seize and hold fast and retain without wavering the hope we cherish, the hope we cherish and confess in our acknowledgement of it. You got to give voice to your hope. For He who promised is reliable, sure, and faithful to His word. You know, it prays the same way. You're going to have to open your mouth in the midst of the circumstances. And that's why when you get the bad report, it's pretty important what you... It's better to keep your mouth shut if you don't have something good to say. It's better to say nothing than to start agreeing with the report. Because that may set the course of the direction that you're going. So there's all kinds of... I mean, there's confession, there's praise, there's prayer. I've come into prayer time so discouraged, so down, nothing's going right. And then to come into prayer and get before God and begin to pray in the Spirit and begin to talk to Him, and just His strengthening comes, His courage. And by the end of the prayer time, I'm shouting the victory. You can't get in His presence without being encouraged. You can't. I mean, in His presence is fullness of joy. You come boldly to the throne, man, you're going to get mercy, you're going to get grace, you're going to get loving, I don't know, whatever it is you need. You may not even know what you need, but you go into His presence, it's going to come. Jesus is in the garden before He goes to the cross. I mean, He's sweating blood. He's so disturbed. And the angels came and strengthened Him. Meditation, what we think about. Philippians 4 says, whatever is perfect, lovely, good, don't think, don't rehearse the problem. Don't rehearse the bad report and tell it to everybody you meet. But you see, I got this, and this is what the doctor, and I know you want to tell people, and they're asking, but we're going to have to come up with some kind of press release, because you continuing to tell people the problem and rehearsing it over and over is doing nothing for your hope. It's only bringing more discouragement, and your faith is looking for something to lock into. It's locking into your words. It's locking into what you're thinking. Say amen or oh me, or say something. I tell you what's just really encouraging, talking to people of faith. Remember the guy that was let down through the roof into the presence of Jesus? I mean, how did they think that was a good idea? Who's the brilliant guy that came up with that plan? Oh, we'll go up and tear a hole in the roof and drop him down, and then he's going to be healed. But when you've got people in your life that are faith people, there may be just some crazy things you might end up doing. But I've had that come into meetings and different times and talk, and we can be down and everybody's depressed and you're looking at the numbers and looking at the and things in the natural, and it's just like, man, we might as well just give up. You ever just wanted to quit? You ever just felt hopeless? There's no joy. There's just mumbling, complaining. I'm not getting anywhere near you, am I? Grumbling, complaining, whining, all of that stuff. But you start getting in and you meet with other faith people, and you start, maybe they might say, hey, you need to get your... Do I need to hit you, Eddie? You need to get your confession straightened out. What are you talking about? Let's start going to the Word. Let's just start talking about what has God said to us? What has God said through prophecy? What has He said to you in your prayer time? What has He said to you in the Word? And let's start talking those things. And then before you know it, iron starts sharpening iron. And then faith starts rising and encouragement comes. And you walk out of that meeting ready to take over the world. You need to get you some crazy faith friends instead of some crazy doubt and unbelief friends. I mean, the doubt and unbelief people, I know we've got them in our lives, and go ahead and hang out with them and love them and get them saved and get them back in. But I mean, get you some people that will encourage, that you'll be strengthened by talking to. Don't get together and have whining sessions. How has that been working for you? I mean, go look at Job. I mean, good gracious. Those kind of friends, who needs enemies? I mean, good gracious. This is my prayer for you, found over in Romans 15, verse 13. Romans 15, verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I like that. Jose, may you just abound in hope. Vanessa, just abound in hope. Bill, you abound. I mean, I'm praying that for you. Abound in hope. Have hope for 2014. 2014 is going to be our year. I mean, you just can't, though, write down things, well, I want it to be better. Or I want world peace. I mean, those are good things. But those aren't targets. What specifically do you want to happen this year? And then get those specific things. And then allow your faith to start bringing you towards the target. And then the Holy Spirit will start working. Give them something to work with. You've got to set the thermostat. You've got to set it. He's not going to set the hope. He'll give you the revelation and now all the different things, but you're the one that's got to. And it's really, there's no limits. Now let's look at one of our other favorite verses in light of all the things we'll be talking about. Ephesians 3:20. This is our bread and butter scripture. We've got this down so well. We have a word for Ephesians 3:20. We call it E320. And we've even added other EE320. And we may have E, I don't know what the other E is, but EEE320. I don't know. I mean, this verse has been big in our church over the years. Now let's look at a lot of what we're talking about today. I just want to encourage you today. I want to get your hopes up. I want to keep hope alive. Keep hope alive. I'm just all these things from Martin Luther King. I've been, you know. I mean, look at what he came through. Look at the hope that he had and the dream that he had. Look at the circumstances he went through. Ephesians 3:20. Now listen to this, Nate. Listen. Listen now. Now to him who by a consequence of the action... I'm spitting on my iPad here. Hold it for a second. I've got to have clarity here. Now to him who by in consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly. I'm coming with Terry now. Do super abundantly. That's an awesome word. I love that word. Far over and above all that we dare ask or think. Infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. Woo! Can you do that with me? Oh, on the count of three. One, two, three. Woo! That was so much fun. We've got to do that again. One, two, three. Woo! You need to start practicing that. Woo-hoo! Woo! Woo! Hey! Practice that too. What can he do this year? What can he do in our lives, in our families, in our businesses? What can he do in this church? All things are possible to him who believes. Open ourselves to him. Begin to ask him, Lord, begin to show us this upcoming year. He'll show you. And you may lock in some things and you may, you know, come under some fierce attack. Maybe that's sometimes why we're afraid to write some things down. But you got your faith friends and you got trust in God and you've got the Word of God and you've got the Spirit of God. You've got the name of Jesus. You've got church. You've got awesome pastors. Awesome leaders here at Good News Church. Crazy faith friends. You need healing. We're just going to go over to Eddie's house and we're just going to tear a hole in his roof and we're going to lower you down. And Eddie's going to pray for you and you're going to be healed. Come on, let's go do it! And we'll be so convinced. So just get ready, Eddie. Use the front door? That's not fun at all. That's really boring. The front door? You're going to make us a door.